I have a message that we started really Wednesday night, and it just seems like so much more understanding has come to me since that time, that I want us to go to the Word of God in John's Gospel, the 16th chapter, where Jesus said something so powerfully significant. And just to be sure that it's there in your Bible, because it is a teaching that is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All three, Jesus deals with this. But especially in the 16th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended." Now you say, "I've heard that before." So have I. But I really believe that God has opened my understanding to see this in a stronger way than I think I've ever seen it in my life, because it's one of the most challenging things in the kingdom of God. John, the 16th chapter, verse 1, reading one more time. "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." Now also, this is in Luke. Jesus taught this in Luke, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all three, Jesus deals with this. And really, I guess if I put a title on the message today, it would be "The Joys of Being Offense-Free." The joy. I know that word offense has a negative connotation for some people, but let me explain to you what it's all about. This last week, I really didn't know that much about him, because I don't know. It just wasn't ever called to my attention necessarily. But it was a 57-year-old man who was an icon in music, Mr. Prince. He's in eternity today. He's in eternity today. Isn't it a shame that those that are so greatly blessed by this great land, Elvis Presley and a host of others, that we've had some big star names, but something got a hold of them that they either could not or would not let go. And you'd think after names that were that big, and of course now that's all you hear, and I know more about it than I did before. He obviously was a very, very talented and wealthy and had a tremendous following. But isn't that something? It takes more than a jet airplane. It takes more than singing to thousands of screaming fans. It takes more than being an icon and being able to for people to say one of the greatest talents that has ever lived. It takes more than that. And you know, God wants believers to be free. I mean, you know, no criticism there. In fact, they said no sign of foul play. It was just the fact the man overdosed. And obviously that had been going on for a while in his life. And I think, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. What a tragedy of so many superstars, that something got a hold of them that they either could not, or, well, they could have if they, but as I understand it, he had even reached out to a false cult. I don't know all about that story, but I'm going to tell you, there's only one thing that can set you free and keep you free, and it's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. That's before salvation, and you get born again. Thank God he set you free from all the sins you've ever committed, forgives you. And now he will do the same thing on this side of salvation, that God doesn't want us to be bound by anything that is hurtful or harmful in any way, form, or fashion. But as you look at the spirit of offense or being offended, Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, he said, offense will come. Offense will come. It will come. In fact, in Luke 17, 1, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. It's impossible. And Matthew's gospel said the greatest in God's kingdom is the one who refuses to offend or be offended. I'd not really given much notice to Matthew, the 18th chapter, but you look at Matthew, the 18th chapter, that's the chapter, remember, that talks about rather than offend someone, better the millstone tied about your neck and you're thrown into the sea. Or that, you know, the Word of God's pretty serious about that. What an offense is, it's a very subtle thing. It's a very subtle thing. And I believe the Lord has given me new insight. And to be honest with you, I've overcome two or three offenses this week because they come every week. They come every week. And they come in ways that you don't really expect it. We all receive offenses and don't really realize sometimes what's happening. And I believe that the Word of God's going to help us today. You see, God's Word talks about this because an offense is like a green bent twig. Dr. Strong brings it out. It's a camouflaged trap. And you camouflage the trap and with a green bent twig, and you catch a wild animal on the pathway of life. And so the animal's walking along and it doesn't see anything until the thing springs and it falls into a pit and it's caught. An offense is an entrapment. It's something that traps you. It's something that it grabs you before you realize what's going on. It's a cause of displeasure, a cause of displeasure, something that can cause, listen to me, a cause of displeasure, a cause of displeasure, a cause of falling into a trap, being entrapped, to be caught in a trap. It's a trap. It's a trap. And you say, what's important? Well, God wants us to refuse to be offended personally. To refuse to be offended personally. Secondly, the second offense that the Word of God warns us about is don't pick up the offense of someone else. I mean, you may just be tripping down the pathway of life and you hear something so unfair and so mean and so unjust. Well, bless God. I mean, there are times that I've roared off into the sunset and got caught with somebody else's offense. It was none of my business, really. Ultimately, it was none of my business. But I heard of something that was unfair, unjust. I heard. And that's where we all get caught on this thing. We don't get full information. We just know enough to get us aggravated. So we need to refuse to be offended personally. We need to refuse to pick up an offense of someone else. And there's a third one that I think at one time or another could have hit every one of us in the house. Refuse to be offended at God. My prayers were not answered. What's wrong? Things didn't work out. Why in the world did I do the right thing and got wrong results? Why in the world I was believing for this? I was giving for this. Now, wait a minute, the whole story is not over, though. You see, the whole story is not over. And all of us, if you'll just be honest with me today, all of us, we've been offended at God. There are times that, you know, for 52 years, I've done everything within my power to do the right thing, to keep godly character, to be honest, to be overall pure. None of us are perfect, but I've tried to have a good reputation. And there are some that have don't give a rip, and it seems like nothing holds them back. They got millions of dollars, and they can sell this or do that or what. And there's times, yeah, there's times I've fallen into that. I thought, Lord, hey, I'm here. Don't forget me. Oh, you're so quiet. Thank you for listening to me this morning. It's so easy not only to get offended yourself at something or to pick up someone else's offense. And that's what happens so many times in misunderstandings in the body of Christ. But thirdly, I beg of you on this one, and we've all been guilty. We get offended at God. I believed God. I gave for this. I named my seed. I sacrificed. I didn't do something that others were doing, or I did something that others would not, you know. I made the right decision. I chose to do the right thing. What's the deal, God? We're offended at God. All right. I just wanted to. And you know, the Bible gives two outstanding, in Matthew 24, two outstanding signs of the end time. One is earthquakes. And we're even having earthquakes in Texas, right? You say, well, we think we know what might be causing. I don't know what may be causing, but we're in growing up, I never remember an earthquake in Texas. But we're having earthquakes and tremors in Texas, of all places, Oklahoma, and the states that surround us. So earthquakes. But the Bible said in Matthew 24 that many, not a few, but many will be offended. And there is a mass spirit of offense in the world today, in the political world, tremendous hostility. Tremendous hostility in the business world, in the educational world, in finances and Wall Street, and you know, there are humongous spirits of offense all over the world, and we hear of an act of terrorism, and of course that is a terrible thing, and we certainly shouldn't feel good about that, but I'm just saying there are so many things to stir us up and try to make us live angry, try to make us live hostile. When Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, said there's a time and there's a season, God, let me just cut to the chase and say this, and then we'll say some other things. Church, no matter what's going on in this world, God wants you to enjoy the journey. God doesn't want you to be all hostile and mad and pinging off the wall about a lot of things. And, you know, there's times that I've done everything a pastor can do. I've gone the second, third, fourth, fifth. Sometimes you feel like you've gone the 100th mile. And still, that is not received. And you know the bridge is out, and you're doing your best to try to help people. And you just see them drive right on out over the bridge and down the crevice, you see. And for a brief moment, there's a real frustration that can come there if you're not careful. But it also said the greatest in God's kingdom is the one who refuses to offend or be offended. That's in Matthew 18. I'm paraphrasing there, but that's what it says. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. The greatest in God's kingdom is the one who refuses to offend or to be offended. It is impossible but that offenses will come. But as the old saying goes, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. We can't stop the fact that the enemy is going to come in like a flood and try to come against all of us, but we can refuse to let him set up camp. No camping here. No open door here. We refuse to be caught in that trap. And we choose to be in that circle of the joys of being offense-free. Praise be unto God. It's so important. Now, really, staying with the 16th chapter, I've always loved to take a verse or take a chapter and just wring it for everything it's worth. And you can't wring it dry, but you can at least give it a go. The 16th chapter of John, it's so simple. These things, Jesus talking, have I spoken unto you, okay, that you should not be offended. Could I say it like this? That you don't have to be offended. You don't have to fall into the entrapment of the evil one. And then the rest of the chapter, almost every verse speaks to what I'm talking about now. Now, let me give you some insights that God gave us, and we shared some of these Wednesday night, but the 18th chapter, boy, in studying that and realizing if Jesus talks about being offended, offense, or the spirit of offense, in four Gospels, there must be something, well, there's something good about everything God's Word says. But I mean, when you find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, heaven's trying to tell us something. And especially when Jesus said, these things. Other things are wonderful, but right now I'm talking to you about these things. Because here's the thing, and I'm jumping to a point that's later on in there. God does not hear or answer the prayers of an offended person. Because offense will sour your faith. It will nullify your faith. I didn't say God doesn't hear and answer prayer, but if I'm caught in a spirit of offense, and I've caught up in a spirit of offense, it's going to nullify my prayer life. So let's look at some safeguards to not being offended, some firewalls of faith to please God. Amen. And keying off of John, the first chapter, really, that's our main point, our main verse, and our main chapter that we're dealing with today. John, the first chapter, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. All right, point number 1. And you find it right here in the 16th chapter of John's Gospel. Living full of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me tell you something. I thank God for all of our evangelical friends. Thank God for anyone who's got the straight slant on salvation is by grace, salvation by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. That'll get you saved. But I'm speaking from the depth of my heart as much as I know how to speak. We are Holy Ghost people. We who have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have a reservoir. We have a power. We have a strength that the evangelical world without the infilling of the Holy Spirit does not have. I want to say that one more time. You know, it's gotten to the place where it's hard to find a Holy Ghost church anymore. It's hard to find a church that still believes in tongues. There are staff meetings to, what do we do if somebody speaks with tongues? We got to be on guard here. Now, I know there can be, and I've grown up, I've seen seasons of extreme. There isn't much I haven't seen in this period of time, but I'm still not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. And if I know something is Holy Spirit, hey, you got yourself a running partner here. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And but listen to me. That's one reason this soul winning effort has been so anointed. It's not energized by notches in the gun belt. It's not to make us famous. It's not for bragging. But the Holy Spirit was tied into Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. So point number one is living full of the Holy Ghost. And I want to challenge this church, myself included. By the grace of God, I'm going to live fuller. By the grace of God, I want to live to the full a spirit-filled life. I thank God I'm born again. But I want to live to the full, the Holy Spirit power, anointed life. It's the cry of my heart, the desire of my heart. And so we're not just a slick copy church. Amen. I've laid things on the line more than once over these years. So living full of the Holy Ghost is one way you avoid a spirit of offense. Well, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Well, are you offended? Well, yeah, but that's... I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it for me. I'm going to say it for you. If we're full of the Holy Ghost, we're not going to be offended easy. If we are truly... And I... A couple of more points here will substantiate that. Living full of the Holy Ghost, because the Comforter is in us, we refuse to be upset. You see, Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. So what happened around him did not rock his boat. I'm into some deep waters, and I realize, pray for me. Just pray for me. Pray I'll have articulation in what I'm trying to say and what I am saying. You see, by all the chaos that's going on around our lives, it does not rock our boat. And someone that's always so easily upset about everything, they're not. I didn't say they had not been filled with the Holy Spirit, but they're not walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. God's calling us to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I want to say it until we hear it. God's calling us to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, Jesus going away, he said, "Don't leave Jerusalem without it. Go to the upper room." And on that account, until the initial outpouring, tarry until you be endued with power. Amen. Thank God we're born again, but I want to live the Spirit-filled life. Amen. I want to do business like a Spirit-filled person. I want to be a friend. I want to be a husband. I want to be a father. I want to be a pastor. I want to be a father, a grandfather, full of the Holy Ghost. Because of the Comforter within us, we refuse to be upset. Amen. Refuse to be upset by any chaos in our life or in the lives of those about us. Full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Secondly, living full of the Holy Ghost, relying on the Holy Ghost, we're connected with the Spirit of truth. We don't live by rumor. We don't live by feelings. We certainly don't live by the news media. Living full of the Holy Ghost is relying on the Spirit of truth to guide us, to guide you, to guide me into all truth. Let me ask you some questions that go with this. What is the real truth about this matter? Some people never stop to think, what is the real truth about this matter? It's amazing. Some things that some folks got so upset about in the past, no one had the courage or the character to say, could you explain to me what is the real truth about this? I'll leave that one alone. What is the real truth about this matter? I don't want to just hear something. I want to know what the real truth is. I want to know what truth is. What is the real truth about this matter? Or what should God's response in me be to this? What should God's Spirit within me how should it respond to this? About this matter, about what others say, or about this person? All kind of things that come up. This can go any direction. So first of all, we're going to live full of the Holy Ghost. Secondly, we're going to depend on the Spirit of truth. You know, it's amazing, but people going out on the street with a microphone, it's amazing, people that have college degrees, what they don't know. You can just see that blank look on their face. What nation do you live in? Well, I don't know. They're on moon control, I guess. Anyway. But you understand what I'm saying. What is the truth? We don't need to just float along the pathway of life. I want to live in truth. I want to be true to what's right. Amen. I want to rise above the fray. I don't want to just be a part of the herd. I want to ask God, God, what's the truth about this? And you know, in business, you business people, you need this as much as anyone does. What's the real truth about this matter? I mean, this is whatever one's saying. This is the way the trend is going. This is the way this. But God, what? Don't you know the Holy Spirit knows the truth about everything? Don't you know that God knows the truth about investments and He knows the truth? I mean, some people just fall into things. I just can't believe the naivety of some people, the way they live. I mean, slow down and ask God. God, show me how to live. Show me where I should go. Show me what to do today. Why is that busy signal inside of me? Maybe I need to back off this a little bit, you know. Maybe I need to take a different way to work today. Spirit of truth, guide me. Lead me and guide me. Are we communicating today? Hallelujah. You're doing good. What would God's response, what should God's response in me be to this or that or them or whatever? Now, third thing that helps us to rise above this spirit of offense, when we walk in the Spirit full of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit shows us things to come. Proverbs 28 and 5, they that seek the Lord have understanding in all things. We're not just some little dummies walking around. God wants us to live wise. God wants us to live wisely. When we walk in the Spirit full of the Holy Ghost, Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Why? The Spirit in Him directed Him through Samaria. A man who ministered to multitudes, especially on loaves and fishes Sunday, now ministers to one woman by the well. And that one woman turns out to be the person that can bring the whole city to Jesus. Oh, God, lead us, guide us, direct us. What do you want us to do? The Spirit shows us things to come. Thank God for the Holy Spirit of God. And you see, if we're depending on the Holy Spirit, we'll not be offended every time we turn around. We'll not get off on everybody's cause or whatever. Another insight of these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. And all of the truth of this is in the 16th chapter of John's Gospel. When we truly walk in the Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost, God hears and answers our prayers. Dr. John R. Rice, an uncommon Baptist, wrote a classic, Prayer is Asking and the Answer to Prayer is Receiving. Oh, I love it. I just love simplicity packaged in greatness. Amen. Prayer is asking, and the answer to prayer is receiving. He used to be associate minister to Dr. J. Frank Norris downtown at First Baptist Church. Of course, that was we weren't in that building, but that ministry was downtown. Dr. John O. Rice. He was a Baptist, but I suspect there were some other things going on in his life called spirit-filled, because he was very open in those areas. And you know, really, when you think about it, prayer is asking, and the answer to prayer is receiving. You say, well, that's not the way it's working for me. Come on now, let's don't get offended here. See what I mean? Let's don't get offended now. Preacher, you're making it too simple. Well, maybe we need to rewind and say, what's God saying? What's God doing? Hallelujah. Am I too deep this morning? Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. When we walk in the Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit, we pray, we ask the Father in Jesus' name in faith, believing according to God's word, and God hears and answers prayer. But now, I gave you this disclaimer in the very early part of our message this morning, but God does not hear or answer the prayers of someone who is all caught up in offense. God hears and answers prayer of those that are in tune with God. Hallelujah. I've got 3 stars by that one. I should have 5 stars by that one. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Well, I better get on. I'm not getting many amens on that one. When we walk in the Spirit, our joy is full. Ever heard a revival of 93? It happened more than once. Well, I'm not into that joy thing. I know, honey. Here's a mirror, you see. I'm just not into that joy. I don't believe in that joy. You understand? God wants us to be happy. God wants us to enjoy the journey. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. God wants us to enjoy the journey. In the 16th chapter of John's Gospel, verse 22, and ye know, and ye now therefore shall have sorrow, but I'll see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Verse 24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. I'll be honest with you. I had a day I was bummed out about some things. Dear God, I was bummed out. I mean, I just, dear Lord, every time I turn around, I'm banging against a wall here somewhere, you know. And I found over in the 3rd chapter of Ecclesiastes that, you know, God has times and seasons. And it's God's time and season for the church to get happy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Sadness will pull you under. It's like a lifeguard swimming out to save somebody and they almost drown the lifeguard. They don't cooperate. God wants us to enjoy the journey. Hallelujah. And even if you have to, you just need to fake a good laugh and it'll at least give you a jump start to get you in the right direction. Amen. Praise God. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. And I just said, Bob, no matter what happens the rest of this day, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I've got too much to be happy about to get bummed out about this stuff. I'm going to be happy. It's my decision, my faith decision. And you know what? It worked a lot better. It worked a lot better than that other stuff I was messing with. It worked a whole lot. It worked. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Hold your hand up in front of your face. Thank God you can do that. Feel your pulse. Are you breathing? Thank God you're breathing. You You either got here on your wheels or someone else's wheels. Thank God for wheels. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The whole world may be going nuts around us, but we can have the joy of the Lord. We can be happy. Everything doesn't go my way. You say, well, you're a pastor. You know, you're in a position of authority. Honey, you'd be surprised all the sucking in you have to do when you're in leadership. My Lord, I don't get everything I want either. There's a lot of things this ministry that I'm believing God for. It hasn't happened in the fullness as yet, but I'm going to be happy until it does happen. I'm going to thank God until it does come to pass. I remember in the past we had someone around the office. They were always unhappy about what we didn't have around here. But we don't have this and we don't have that and we don't have... Well, good night. Thank God for what we do have. I said, thank God for what we do have. Thank God things are as good as they are. So when we really walk in the Spirit, our joy is full. God wants us to live full of joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for opening the door for that one. You look better. The joy of the Lord's our strength. Now go... Don't go back to chewing your cud about that mess that you came in mad about this morning. Stay in the joy circle. Be happy. Say, thank Hallelujah. These things have I spoken unto you that your joy should not be offended. You know, it's hard to be full of joy and be offended at the same time. In fact, it just doesn't work. It really doesn't work. Oh, I got one here. Boy, now that you're full of joy, you should receive it. And you couple this with, you know, Jesus. Why was Jesus always in control? Why was Jesus, there's a storm raging, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Why was Jesus always the master of every situation? Because Jesus was one with the Father. You missed a good chance to shout. Jesus was one with the Father. And he said, the Father and I are one. Jesus was one with the Father. And when you're full of the Holy Ghost, it quickens your understanding. You know the real truth about it? You may go to your grave and never catch on to what I'm saying right now. But I'm going to tell you flat-footed right now. You are one with the Father whether you ever enjoy it or not. Well, I just don't see it that way. What? Make it easy on yourself. Whether you go into eternity and then the revelation comes, but I'm trying to get you awake this side of the grave, this side of the rapture. You are one with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We're one with Him. And because Jesus was one with the Father, what happened around Him did not rock His boat. And when I realize that I'm one with the Father and one with the Son, things shouldn't rock my boat either. Amen. We're one. Talk about name dropping. Hallelujah. We are, as born again, especially Spirit-filled believers, we are one with the Father. One with the Father, one with the Son. Nothing could shake him. Hallelujah. He said, we're going to take you alive. Now, you can't hurt me. You can't hurt me. You don't understand. I'm one with the Father. Amen, 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 amen. Praise be unto God. So really, you'll have to read it for yourself and get the revelation for yourself. But the 16th chapter of John's Gospel tells us, and Luke tells us, it's impossible but that offenses will come. They come to all of us. They come to all of us. They come in little people, big people. They come in difficult situations. They come disguised in so many ways. All of us are going to be, it comes on the job. It comes in the classroom. It comes in your neighborhood. There's always an opportunity to get offended. And one of the easiest places to get offended is in church. Really, it is. And as I've said so often, that offense is the legal drug of the believer. It's not a street drug. It's a legal drug, you know. I picked it up in the house of God. Got me some good offense. I got me 2 ears full of what, that's what I thought was going on. You know, see, you go home with a shoulder full of monkeys, have a bad week. My Lord God. Offenses will come to all of us. I've had offenses that have come to me this week, and I've made the decision I'm not going to participate. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm one with the Father. I'm one with the Son. And really, the rest of it just really doesn't matter much. You see, God wants us to live offense-proof. He wants us to be bulletproof. Bulletproof, fireproof, discouragement-proof, fear-proof, quit-proof, full of the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. They will come. Offenses will come, but no way. Pass on by. Pass on by. I'm so proud of my little brother. I've been talking to him every day this week. And he's had, you know, a negative report about his body. And, you know, in talking to him, I tell you, he bit the bullet. And he said, in the name of Jesus, I know where this thing came from. And he said, we're not going to take it. Not going to take it. And I mean, it's just exciting to see God working in my family. It's exciting to see God working in my family. And I'm crying out, God, work in every family in this church. God, let a new spirit of revival, let a new spirit of refreshing. Oh, God, let the fullness of the Holy Ghost, let it flow like a mighty river. Our nation desperately needs a spiritual revival. Amen. Our world's on fire. We can't stand another 4 years or 8 years. We can't stand it. We can't stand it. Well, God, if we have to, we will. But my Lord, I just pray Americans make right choices. And you say, what is the right choice? That's where you better get full of the Holy Ghost, because we're living in a day we've got to have the mind of God on which way to go. We've got to have the mind of all times in America. We better know where to go and how to vote and what to do. And right now there's some things that the jury's out. We need God's wisdom as we've never needed God's wisdom. Are you listening to me? We must have God's wisdom. You give $150 billion to Iran, we're crazy. We've got to get this train back on the track. I said, we've got to get this train back on the track. You still have the joy of the Lord? But you know what? I'm not going to get offended about that. I'm going to pray about that. I'm not going to get offended about that. I'm going to pray about that. Hallelujah. Because, you know, I've read the back of the book, and guess what? We win. We win. I can't help what every other church does, what every other preacher does. I can't help what the evangelical community does or doesn't do, or the politicians do or can't do. But you know what? I can challenge the church that God's made me pastor over, and we're going to do the will of God, and we're going to pray in the Spirit, and we're going to believe God for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We're going to keep doing what God told us last. We're not going to back up, shut up, or let up until we go up. Yep, offenses will come, but pass on by. I said offenses will come, but pass on by. Offenses will come, but I say let them pass on by. Now you say, you mean you've won complete victory in this area? You want me to tell you the truth? But I'm after it. I said, I'm after it. You want to follow me? You want to get on board? Amen. It's time we walk in those doors full of the Holy Ghost. It's time we live every day full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Stop spotting everything that's wrong around here and start rejoicing in what's right. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, I'm seeing life out there this morning. I see life in you. I see sparks. I see bonfires of life. We're going to do and finish what God's called us all to do, aren't we? Hallelujah. Praise be unto the Lord. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. Shorabakasa. See, time to quit. I don't want to quit, but I guess I... Yeah, offenses have come. Offenses will come. They come to all of us. But don't become offended personally. Don't pick up someone else's offense. And for God's sake, your sake, don't get offended at God. He never makes a mistake. He may be late, but he's always early. Our God is enough. Oh, hallelujah. One thing I thank God for, I believe this church will do the will of God. I believe we will see the will of God. You know, it's happening from time to time. God's helping us. And I believe we're going to have financial miracles. I believe we're going to have miracles of new people, new families. People don't have a lot of baggage. They just want to come to church and enjoy the journey. Amen. I can handle that. You can handle that. Praise God. Stand with me if you will. It's time to rejoice. I said it's time to rejoice. Hallelujah. It's time to rejoice. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Trying to find the exit. Amen. Father, we just want to thank you for the word of God today. We want to thank you for the word of God today. We want to thank you for the word of God today. Thank you for the word of God today. Thank you for the word of God today. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our pathway. The first report's not the last report. God's word is the final test. I will rejoice. To rejoice is a choice. That's a bumper sticker we had several years ago. To rejoice is a choice. by the grace of God, we will rejoice. We'll be a church on fire. We'll be a church full of the joy. We'll be an outreach church. We will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Hallelujah. You know, in my heart of hearts, I know I feel the need of it, and I'm reaching out to God for it. Church, we need to pray more. We need to pray more. Wouldn't hurt to have a prayer revival, really. We need God. I need God. You need God. Our church needs, our families. So many families are going through things right now. Our nation needs our prayers. What if we could just a few moments of prayer for America? I'm not holding you, but if you'd just like to join me in that, just come to the front. Just a few moments of prayer. Let's pray for our nation. Pray for everyone that's running for the presidency. Pray over the churches of America, the pastors of America. America is a wonderful nation. With all of our sins, our faults, and our failures. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You remember when 9/11 came? Sure you do. I'll never forget Franklin Graham on CNN giving the plan of salvation. Does anybody remember that? You say it can't be done? Yeah, when a nation's hurting bad enough, it'll get by. Franklin Graham took the Roman road and led people in praying a salvation on CNN. And that'd be a miracle on any station, I guess, nowadays, except Christian stations. No, really. It's kind of like I said, when you're really hurting, you look for a fanatic. When you've got a bad doctor's report, you don't want one of these now lay me down to sleep prayers. You want a fire-breathing fanatic, somebody that really believes God. You want to find a church that really believes the book of Acts, believes in miracles. Let's lift our voice, and first of all, I want you to pray for our church. Let's believe the best is yet to come. God's at work. Let's pray for our church. Father, we pray for our church this morning. And God, we just release our faith that a spirit of prayer and revival is moving and stirring in this house. You will lead us. You will guide us. You will direct us. Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Jesus' name, we pray over our nation. We pray over our nation. Father, we pray for everyone that's running for the presidency of the United States. I didn't say we pray for them to win, but we pray, Father, that the Spirit of God somehow would surround them and rise up within them and be with the advisors that surround them. Oh God, everyone that seeks the presidency, that there will be a fear of God. There will be a respect of the Word of God. Oh God, that people in America will get back to what's on our currency. In God we trust. And Father, we pray for our nation. Oh Father, we cry out, God, give us godly leadership in the years to come. Give us godly leadership in the days to come. Lord, you know who needs to be there. You know. And Father, we just say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Father, I'm just praying that truth will erupt in the streets, that soul winning will become the order of the day, that altar calls will return to churches. Oh, that the evangelical appeal for people to accept Jesus as personal Savior. Billy Graham's old. He can't do what he used to do. Oh, God, raise up strong voices across this nation that will call us back to God and Jesus and righteousness. And Father, I just ask you to help me. Help me to be a better, stronger, wiser, more anointed pastor than ever before. That I will hear clearly what the Spirit of God is saying. Lord, that this be a house not only of salvation, but signs, wonders, and miracles. In Jesus' name. Father, we call for a harvest of souls, not only on the streets, but in our church. We call for a harvest of souls. And Father, I ask you, this terrible thing of ISIS and all that's going on, protect our nation. Protect our nation. Help us, Lord. Let angels with drawn swords protect our nation. And Lord, by your Holy Spirit, call people back to the heart of God. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now let's praise God for the answer to these prayers. Hallelujah. 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 Thine the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Revive us. One more time, would you sing? Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Hallelujah. Father, I'm asking you for all of us, that all of us purpose in our heart, by the grace of God, to rise above living in any offense, receiving any offense, picking up the offense of others. Dear God, that we'll never be offended at you. Oh, Father, I just pray that that cursed spirit of offense is broken in everyone's life today. We're going to leave this auditorium being seekers of truth, peacemakers, overcomers, world-class overcomers. We're going to live in victory by the grace of God 24/7. Well, the Lord bless you. Make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. God bless you. Have a good afternoon is our prayer. Hallelujah, thine the glory.